Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. I can't wait. On a Monday, live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. My hair's a little bit of a mess today. I'm not going to lie. I got a haircut, and I just don't care anymore. I'm living in a hotel for 3 weeks as I move houses. I mean, look, I'm just out there right now making stuff up every day, eating at a restaurant every day. I don't know what I'm doing. Good to have you in, Joy Taylor. It's great. Joy has been out for a week. She was in, but quarantine stuff, rules, blah, blah, blah. She's back. I've never missed you more.
I missed you, too. I'm very happy to be back.
Yeah, we're very happy to have you.
It wasn't so difficult when we were both doing the show from not here, but it's, you know, inside baseball, technical stuff. I'm really glad to be back.
We're great. Glad to have you. So, over the last couple months, the Niners have been leaking stuff and taking shots at Jimmy Garoppolo, and we're not happy, we're not happy, we're not happy. And, of course, it's never attributed to John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan, but after about 9 stories, Jimmy Garoppolo's like, I'm handsome, and I'm over it. And now Jimmy Garoppolo has got people on his side. According to Mike Mayocco, NBC Sports Bay Area, Garoppolo would welcome a trade and would waive a no-trade clause. Garoppolo's like, you know, it's funny with Jimmy. The first thing everybody talks about, the first thing everybody says with him is, man, he's handsome. Nobody talks about his arm. Nobody talks about when, boy, he's handsome. It's almost like everybody out there wants him to play a quarterback in a commercial or a movie, not be their quarterback. But here's the definitive argument, and this is what Garoppolo has on his side, and you can't argue it. Belichick loved him. Kyle Shanahan traded for him, and the Niners, with a great roster, stink when he doesn't start. Listen, we all know there's 6 great quarterbacks in this league. We all know. You can put them in any order, I don't care. Mahomes, Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, and Deshaun Watson. They can win games. They can carry a franchise. And in the NFL, you got to be a top 12 quarterback historically to win a Super Bowl. So those are the 6, and Garoppolo's not in it. The next 6, and I put mine up this morning, totally arguable. I'd go Lamar, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, Kyler Murray. You could argue me out of Matt Ryan and put in Dak. It'd be fine. I wouldn't lose a lot of sleep on it. My guess is Carson Wentz halfway through the season with Frank Reich will probably be in there instead of Matt Ryan. That's my next 6. Lamar, Herbert, Carr, Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, Kyler Murray. I think Kyler's got a much higher ceiling than Dak. But you could argue Kirk Cousins, low ceiling to me. You could argue Dak, great kid, not a great arm talent. But Garoppolo's in there. And you can't argue. Belichick loved him. He's pretty smart. Kyle Shanahan traded for him. He's really smart. And the Niners are awful when he doesn't play. So that I've never bought into this. Garoppolo's going to get traded. I know y'all think he's handsome, but when the best defensive coach of my life loves him, meaning he sees him every day at practice and he thinks, oh, he could beat a good defense, and the best young offensive coach in the NFL, in my opinion, loves him, and the Niners roster, which is fairly stacked, is awful, they can't win without him, I think Garoppolo's staying in San Francisco. I know a lot of you look at him like people look at the actor Chris Evans. The first thing you say is, God, he's good looking. You know, Don Cheadle, it's like, what an actor. Ed Norton, what an actor. Mark Ruffalo, what an actor. Chris Evans, God, he's good looking. I know, but Chris Evans has to be able to act or directors wouldn't keep giving him jobs. Otherwise, movies would just have models. He's got to be able to act. And Jimmy Garoppolo's got to be able to quarterback because the Niners are awful when he doesn't play. And they have a good O-line. They have a great tight end. They have good backs. They have an unbelievable front. They have active linebackers, so Jimmy Garoppolo fired back. Garoppolo said, listen, yes, I may be good-looking, but I'm tired of being told I'm the problem here. Because I, in my only year of starting, Jimmy Garoppolo in his life has had 1 full year of starting. Let's review. 69% completion percentage, 101 passer rating, 2-1 touchdowns to picks. And Garoppolo's tired of it, and he's got a right to be tired of it. So I watched a lot of NBA over the last three days. And we are moving into a space before we get to the real exciting NFL free agent stuff. We got some NBA stuff to talk about here. We're getting real close to the All-Star break, which, of course, is the game nobody this year wants to play. So Joy and I have talked about this in the last several years. Three words, go for it. I watched the Boston Celtics twice over the last three, 4 days. Boston would make an accountant proud. They're frugal. They develop players. They draft well. They're smart. They did everything right. They got the smart head coach. They win every trade. And I watched them yesterday blow a lead to a very average team, the New Orleans Pelicans. And my takeaway is, this morning the Celtics are sixth in the East. Their roster doesn't have a legitimate big. Kemba Walker's deteriorating physically. And they don't have enough good players. They've become the Packers. Is that frugal, put their money away, pay off their house. But go look at the last five NBA champs. I'll read them for you. The Lakers, they went and got AD. The Raptors, they went and aggressively got Kawhi. The Warriors, they aggressively got KD. The Cavs, they got LeBron and Kevin Love. Heat, they got LeBron and Bosch. That's your last five. Okay, the Celtics were in the James Harden sweepstakes this offseason. Do you know what Danny Ainge said? The price is a little too high. They were in the Kawhi sweepstakes, and Danny Ainge said, the price is a little uncomfortable for us. They were in the Paul George sweepstakes. They were in the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. And they talked themselves out of it. In the last 35 years, the proud Boston Celtics have a title. Remember the year? They went for it with Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. The Dodgers were really good. They went and got Mookie Betts. The three best teams in the NFL at the end of the year were the Buccaneers, total go-for-it organization, Buffalo went and got Stephon Diggs, and Kansas City, nothing but stars. I know other GMs look at the Celtics and go, oh, they're so frugal, and they develop, and they accumulate draft picks. They're just not that good. They're just not that good. They need another star. They have no size. They tried to trade Kemba Walker in the offseason because they know he can't play back-to-backs. He's deteriorated. Danny Ainge, last week on Boston Radio, to his credit, acknowledged you don't have enough good players.
Our roster, obviously, is not good. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and that's who we are. But this team, where we are, you know, if there's somebody to blame, this is Danny Ainge to blame. This is not Brad Stevens. It's not Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. It's like, we're not good enough right now, and we all know that. And, you know, we need to get better.
Who beat the Celtics last year in the Eastern Conference Finals? Miami. They went for it with Jimmy Butler, which I didn't love. It was kind of a risk. Butler had been hard to get along with, temperamental, struggles with some teammates, and the Heat got to the finals. And I know Brooklyn right now is a complete tinderbox emotionally. It's going to blow up eventually. But right now, this morning, they just went 5-0 on a road trip without Kevin Durant. They've won six straight. Between Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, they're offensively virtually unstoppable. And so, you know, Boston for years, they did everything right. It's so Packers. The right coach, the right draft picks. They win every trade. They develop Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, who have some limitations, but they were so patient. And you don't have enough good players. They're not going to be able to beat Milwaukee or Philadelphia in the playoffs because they'll get owned by Embiid and Giannis's size. They're not offensively gifted enough to beat a Brooklyn. And Boston's one of those teams. You always know your team is kind of limited in any sport when they have to play a certain way to win. Like, if this team doesn't play exactly how it's scripted, like, you know, they always say, baking is just following directions. Cooking is kind of artistry. It's making it up as you go. The Celtics are in the baking category. Like, you have to follow the directions of Brad Stevens perfectly or they can't win. And in the end, congratulations on being patient, saving money, being frugal, and winning trades. It's not that good of a basketball team. You don't have enough good players. Brooklyn in an hour is suddenly better.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Big Ben is now running out of people who are supporting him. The Steeler quarterback, if he just retired, would save the Steelers $19 million and they could start their search for another quarterback soon. I think they'd go after Sam Darnold. They already have Dwayne Haskins. But Marquise Pouncey, his center, that was Ben's guy. He retired. Kevin Colbert, the GM's always been Ben's guy. His comments recently, lukewarm on Big Ben. Mike Tomlin, interestingly quiet. Mike Tomlin now is not talking. And now a former teammate who played with Ben for 11 years, Ike Taylor. They were in three Super Bowls. They won a couple of them. Ike Taylor is out on Big Ben. Here it is.
I think Seven should shut it down. And the reason why I think Seven should shut it down, he's done everything he possibly can. You setting him back a year or two or three. I think, and the reason why I think you setting him back is because you've seen the progression in Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow before he got hurt, and Baker Mayfield. So we're talking about three young quarterbacks in one division. Who you gonna pick last? I'm not talking about the accolades. I'm not talking about the Super Bowls. I'm talking about 2020.
Right.
Who are you picking last?
Ike Taylor is not wrong. What does Big Ben do well? Accuracy? No. Pre-snap genius? No. Deep ball? No. Mobility? No. Everybody else in that division, Burrow, Baker, and Lamar, have a specialty. Big Ben was never fully committed. It was fine when he was in his athletic prime. Who is in his corner now? Ain't the GM, not the coach, not a former. Ike Taylor was a real player. Ike Taylor was a good teammate. He was Ben's guy. Center retired. Ike's out. Mike's out. Kevin Colbert's out. So again, I'm a big believer that if you're super talented, I'll put up with your crap. But once you're not as talented, your lack of commitment, and Ben is the anti-Brady. He is the anti-Russell Wilson. He is the anti-Brady. He just did it on talent. That ages poorly when you're not committed during and in off seasons.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Miami won. They should have won by more. The Lakers almost stole it. The Lakers are in a shooting slump right now, regardless of Anthony Davis being out and Dennis Schroeder being out. They just can't shoot. Miami's an interesting story. So, and this happens in sports, and fans don't want to admit it. We think, you know, the minute you're good, you're going to be good forever. We think dynasties are going to last forever. And we think sometimes we forget that sports, you see this every year in March Madness, where there's a team that gets hot, lightning in a bottle. They're not that talented. They have all sorts of flaws, but they play with confidence. They maybe get a break or two in the seeding or the playoffs, and you look up and George Mason and VCU are knocking off teams, and they don't really have NBA players in March Madness, and you're like, wow, how did they get here? It's lightning in a bottle. Not every team that gets deep into the playoffs is great. There's breaks. There's momentum. And Miami last year shocked everybody. They were a fifth seed, and then they ended up in the finals. And I think they got a lot of breaks. Number one, they were super healthy. A lot of teams in the bubble had injuries. Older teams sort of unraveled. The older NBA players missed their wives. They missed their kids. And outside of the Lakers, every other veteran NBA team kind of folded and underachieved. But the Eastern older teams, Milwaukee, just didn't play well. And then nobody had a book on Duncan Robinson or Tyler Hero. And Bam, until the finals, was playing very good basketball. And here came Miami. And Jimmy Butler had this energy, and everybody was feeding off it. And Eric Spoelstra, of course, is an excellent coach. And you look up today, and Miami's just not that talented. Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson are incredibly limited players, both defensive liabilities. If you run them off the three-point line, they don't have much of a game. Bam is not good enough when Jimmy Butler's hurt to carry a team. They're 3-9 when Jimmy Butler's not available. You know, there's a reason that Pat Riley went after James Harden hard when Harden was in Houston. Like, they just don't have enough. They need another guy. But it also goes to show you this happens. There are lightning in, you know, we talked about Cam Newton. Cam had a lightning in the bottle year. His division was awful. He stayed healthy. It was a weird year where Carolina met Arizona in the NFC Championship. Green Bay wasn't as good that year. And all of a sudden you look up and Cam Newton's in the Super Bowl. And you're like, it kind of happened once. Everything kind of worked out. Doesn't take anything away from Cam or George Mason or VCU or the Miami Heat. But I'm watching them yesterday and I'm like, they're not special. Right now they would not be a playoff team. Now they're not many games out of it, but they're 4 games under 500 and Jimmy Butler needs help. And now there's a book on Tyler Hero, and even Eric Spoelstra, who's a great coach, doesn't have all the answers.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Here we go. Colin right, Colin wrong on a Monday.
Where Colin was right.
Carson Wentz is out of Philadelphia and now an Indianapolis Colt. The day before, I did a segment that was borderline tampering, trying to get him to Indianapolis. I think this is the best fit. Carson Wentz tends to move a little too much for my taste, but with the Colts, he or Sam Darnold work because they wouldn't have to be as reckless, because they wouldn't have to leave the pocket as much. I think the Colts now are probably just one more wide receiver or tight end target from being a team that can win a Super Bowl, but Carson Wentz to Indy is what I was hoping for and what I got.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Brooklyn Nets, well, what do you know? They've won 6 straight. They went 5-0 on their West Coast roadie. They're actually 12-2 against top teams. So this isn't one of those fake NBA winning streaks where you play the dregs of the league and go 8-0. They've played 14 top teams. They've won 12. And by the way, Kevin Durant's been nursing a hamstring, I think, and James Harden took over. So 1-6 straight, 5-0 on their road trip. There's a lot of ways it could go sideways, but as of now, I'm wrong. It's been great.
Where Colin was right.
Well, I've been saying this. I didn't buy Pittsburgh all year. I said Big Ben is old and high maintenance. And now Ike Taylor's calling him out. Now Kevin Colbert, the GM, gave him a lukewarm, supportive PR drop last week. And, you know, I think he was awful down the stretch. Last 5 games, he was 1-4. He had 8 picks. His lack of commitment has caught up to him. And this is kind of what I've thought Big Ben has been, a little coddled over the last several years, and it's catching up to him.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know, for years, I said Howie Roseman and the Eagles were well-run. They're not. Story out this morning, the Eagles got fleeced in the deal, and they know it. Listen, they're not drafting well. The last Pro Bowler they drafted was Carson Wentz. I think they butchered the Jalen Hurts-Carson Wentz relationship. I think the roster in spots is too old. I think there's way too much ego in the front office. Howie Roseman ran off Chip Kelly, who, by the way, I ran into this weekend on his bicycle. So Philadelphia, I thought they were just this great franchise, and right now they're a mess, and they got too much ego and chaos in the front office.
Where Colin was right.
The Denver Broncos reportedly are looking to replace Drew Lock, who to me is too casual, a little too concerned with being cool, throws too many 50-50 balls in the air, and I sold my Drew Lock stock mid-season. Now, I said before the year, I said there's something there, and I still think he's talented, and people have said, well, why are you moving off him? It's not complicated. I have more information and more games. I do believe you got to give a quarterback, even in this era, 15, 16, 20 games. But since he was drafted, he has the lowest completion percentage in the NFL. Again, I think he's got sort of a Jay Cutler thing where he's a little casual, a little bit of ego, not playing with enough urgency. And according to reports, John Elway would move off tomorrow.
Where Colin was wrong.
Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers are number one in the East. I always thought he was silly, a little flaky, super talented. But he's sort of what Giannis isn't, which is he's got some finesse. He's got a little mid-range jumper. He can shoot. He's got a little touch. His offensive game is layered. You stop him here, he can go there. Whereas with Giannis, I kind of feel like there's a ceiling and limitations. all his numbers are up this year. Doc Rivers certainly deserves credit, but I always thought he was talented. That's obvious. He's got a lot of Shaq where there are times you're like, he shouldn't be able to do what he's doing at 7-1, but he's really played well. And the chemistry with him and Ben Simmons is working, and I'm wrong.
Where Colin was right.
Oh, according to a very legitimate reporter, Barry Jackson, Miami Herald, the Dolphins are interested in trading for Deshaun Watson. First of all, Deshaun's talented. But this goes to the core of something I believe to be true. Tua's limited, and the Dolphins deep down will support him publicly, but they know he's limited. Listen, if you're trying to move off your quarterback 9 starts in, you're seeing stuff at practice you don't love. 3 different games last year, Tua had under 100 yards passing. He was benched twice for an old guy. And in the end, in a league where there's so much special, Tua looks pretty formulaic. There's a certain way he's got to play, doesn't throw particularly well when he's rushed, and the Dolphins appear to know it.
Where Colin was wrong.
Joe Milton is the 6th scholarship quarterback to transfer at Michigan under Jim Harbaugh. He's had 4 starting quarterbacks transfer in 6 years. Listen, if you'd have asked me the one thing he would have gotten right at Michigan, I would have said he'll get the quarterback right. He just wears guys out. For the life of me, Andrew Luck appears to be the exception, not the rule. I still think Harbaugh's a good coach. But, you know, at some point, no Michigan quarterback has made it to a 4th season under Jim Harbaugh. And Jim Harbaugh's got to own it. He's wearing these young kids out. And he's got to figure out a way to either separate from the process, but Milton's another one. In, out, won't finish there.
Where Colin was right.
I've defended Derek Carr for years. I said he's a top 10-12 quarterback, and last week the story came out that the best young GM in the NFL, arguably Chris Ballard of the Colts, called the Raiders and wanted to make a deal for Derek Carr. And the Raiders smartly said, we're hanging up the phone. In the last 2 years, Derek Carr has 48 TDs, 17 picks, and 101 passer rating. That's in a new system. That's with a lot of young receivers, a new tight end, a lot of moving parts, and dealing with John Gruden's, volume. So Derek Carr is absolutely a top 12 quarterback in this league. I've said, there's a lot of Tony Romo here. Good arm, not great, but he can move. There are certain throws he makes, some timing throws he makes. I think he makes them just about as well as anybody in the NFL. And finally the Raiders. To me, he's the life preserver in a million questions for the Las Vegas Raiders right now. He's the one thing, he and the tight end are the 2 things I really like.
Where Colin was right.
All you Zion doubters, do you realize in February, listen to this, Zion not only averaged 27 per game, he shot 66% from the floor. Nobody in a month has duplicated that since Charles Barkley in 1983. Yesterday, he took over the game, had 24 in the second half against the Celtics. It is amazing to me all the doubters with Zion. Folks, 66%. He is right now indisputably the most guaranteed basket. He's the best 2 in the league. Nope. Now, he's not going to get you 3s, but you can't tell me if you're shooting 66% on 2s, he's the best 2 in the league. And how many games has he played? I don't even know. 50? This kid is. And if you watch that game yesterday, he was bringing the ball down the floor. He is such a unique body type. And the other thing, his ability to jump quickly, like he is just boom up. He gets 40 inches off the floor. For a guy that weighs 285, his explosiveness is sick. There's just nobody else in the league like him. So I can sit here and just watch his highlights all day. I love watching him play.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Justin Turner, if you'd never seen him play baseball, you could describe him by just saying he's the juice of the Dodgers. For all their talent and all their arms and all their history, he is their energy. He is their juice. And there was a moment this offseason, people thought he may go, and then they smarted up and gave him a big fat contract. And Justin Turner of the Dodgers, the World Series champ, is now joining us now live. By the way, I have facial hair for the first time in my life, and you are nothing but facial hair, and it looks great on you. It looks like hell on me. So is it your superpower?
Well, you know what? I'd say it looks pretty good on you. I like that look, Colin. I've seen you, and it's the first time I've ever seen you with a stash. The stash is a little more prominent than everything else, but yeah. It is good, and it is my superpower, I guess you could say. I always shorten it up right before spring training and then kind of let it go and have a mind of its own throughout the season, and usually it gets nice and big and full just in time for October.
Listen, you are in the hit. I grew up watching the Dodgers in the 70s. You lead them in playoff home runs, hits, runs, games. And it's interesting, when there was talk about, because it's a pretty big, there's a lot of guys getting paid here. Was there a moment where you thought, oh, hell, I'm not coming back? Were you ever concerned?
Yeah, there was a couple moments where I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And obviously, you know, the process was good for me. It all worked out in the end. But it felt like this was the shortest, longest offseason I've ever had in my life. So it took a while to get there. A couple things happened where it put some serious question marks in my mind as to whether or not I was going to be back in Dodger blue. But like I said, it all worked out in the end. I'm happy to be here, and this is where I'm supposed to be.
Listen, it's a mostly young team. You got your Seegers, your Walker Buehlers, Cody Bellinger. It's a young team. You've been in this league, this sport, for 12 years now at the big league level. Do you consider yourself a leader? Do you ever sense that, or do you need to be? Do you want to be? How do you feel about that?
I take a lot of pride in being a guy that my teammates can come to and talk to and have conversations with, or if stuff's going a little sideways, to be able to step in and have some talks with guys. But, you know, here with the Dodgers, it's such a great culture. It's such a great atmosphere to be in. We really take pride in letting guys be themselves and being who they are and not trying to change them. So the analogy I always use is I try to be like the bumpers on a bowling lane, right? We want guys to keep moving forward down the lane. And if they start going towards the gutter, I try to be that bumper. I try to be that bumper that helps them, you know, find at least one pin.
Thank God most Dodgers don't end up in the gutter. Justin Turner's joining us. You are a rare player, and this is really rare. You hit better in the postseason than the regular season. Now, it's close, but that is rare. You're facing better pitchers. There's more pressure. There's more situational pitching, pitching changes. But you come across as incredibly loose as a player. You're just playing. And I've seen guys who are great. A-Rod, and he was a different batter in the postseason. How do you keep the mindset in these pressure situations? How do you stay loose at the plate?
Yeah, I think I was extremely fortunate to spend a lot of time with Dr. Ken Revisa. He was a sports psychologist at Cal State Fullerton in the 4 years I was there, and really spent a lot of time with him working on the mental side of baseball. And I think it really is a big part of our game. Everyone has talent. Everyone can go out there and really play. But being able to control what's in between your ears, I think, is what sets guys apart. And, you know, when you get in those moments in the postseason and I guess not so much last year, but in years past, when the crowd's going crazy and there's a lot of energy and it's a big spot, it's so easy for your heart rate to start pounding. You feel like your heart's going to beat out of your chest. And being able to have the tools to slow yourself down and control your breathing, to relax your eyes and be able to make good decisions at the plate, I think is crucial.
By the way, I was just seeing this. I'm gonna play a trivia game with you. Here we go. You're going to think I'm a jerk for doing this, but I thought it was funny. First of all, which pitcher do you have the most career home runs against? He's pretty good.
Oh, most career home runs against. I don't know.
He's got good stuff. He's a little temperamental.
Bumgarner?
Boom! Maybe?
I don't know.
Boom!
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the bad one. Who have you faced the most and never gotten a hit off of? And he's pretty good, too. He's a Hall of Famer.
The most I never got a hit off of.
11 at bats.
Cliff Lee.
Oh, Cliff Lee, the old left-hander. No. Justin Verlander.
Oh, man, yeah. I haven't sniffed a hit off that guy.
Well, you sniffed a hit. You sniff a hit off everybody. So this Dodger team, they go out and get Trevor Bauer, Mookie Betts. It's just insane. Now you're World Series champs, Justin. Do you sense a little bit of, okay, you've seen teams win the World Series, now the pressure's on, and teams play differently. Are you at all concerned that you guys are now a overwhelming National League favorite? Can you sense that?
I think it's pretty similar to every year we come in here for spring training. I think our front office does such a great job of accumulating talent and putting a group in the room that we think has a chance to win a World Series every single year. So this year is no different. Obviously, a lot of great players added some very nice pieces to the roster, and we're looking forward to making another deep run and bring another championship to LA. So I don't think it's that different from any other year.
How long did it take for you to play with Mookie Betts and go, oh my God, he's good? I mean, how many games, was there like an epiphany? Was there a moment where you're, because I think he's such a 1970s, 80s player. He's just an athlete who does everything well. When, as a great player yourself, was there a moment you're like, okay, we're different with him?
Well, it didn't take long to figure out what he was all about, but I mean, I played against Mookie for a few years now, so I always knew how great of a player he was, but getting to see him, you know, in our clubhouse, and I think it was a big story last year. On day one, he got in front of the team and basically challenged us to practice better and be better in our workouts and be better in our drills and, you know, kind of set the tone that, hey, we're not going to show up and take things for granted. We're going to work hard. We're going to be accountable when we make mistakes. And he put together a little program where anytime you made an error, you had to put $20 in the pot. So it put a little pressure on guys to practice better. And from day one, you kind of got the sense of what he was all about. And then obviously, you know, you just watch him on a daily basis, and the way he can change a baseball game is incredible, whether that's in the outfield or making incredible throws or on the bases. The guy, I don't know if this is a stat or not, but I don't think I've ever played with a guy who's better being on third base with the infield in and getting jumps on ground balls and scoring runs. I mean, routine ground ball to a second baseman, first baseman, he's beating it. It happened in the World Series. So actually it tied up the game, the deciding game of the World Series. So he just is on a whole nother level on ways he can help us win ball games.
What a pleasure to have you on. We're going to go. I keep telling Joy, Dodger Stadium is such a throwback. You never eat the food there, but the food and the drink, it ain't cheap, but it's so good. It's such a great stadium to play in. I want to get fans back in the stadium because it's such a wonderful, it's a throwback classic stadium, and it must be amazing to play there. And Justin, you're a credit to the sport. I'd love to have you on again. It's a long season, and when you get a break and you ever want to promote anything, come on our show again, buddy.
Hey, anytime you want me on, I'm a big fan. I listen all the time. So anytime you want me on, I'm here.